Today's daf is Nida daf Chav Ches. We are holding on daf Chav Zayin Amud Beis. We are on the first wide line of daf Chav Zayin Amud Beis. We are trying to explain the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. So far, we had two explanations of my time with Rabbi Shimon, why it is that Rabbi Shimon holds that even though the Mishnah had said Shilya bebayis habayis tameh, that when you have a Shilya, you have the afterbirth in a house, the house is tameh, why it is that Rabbi Shimon disagrees and holds that Nimuk of Vlad ad Shilya Yetze, and therefore the bayis is not tameh, we assume that the Vlad is disintegrated. So yesterday we started working on what the reason for Rabbi Shimon is. On the bottom of Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, we suggested that maybe the reason for Rabbi Shimon is Kol Tumah Ariv Ba Mimin Acher Betela, that any time you have any Tumah that has any foreign substance mixed in, it immediately is Mevatel the Tumah. It has nothing to do with Rov, Miut, any foreign substance of any amount is going to be Mevatel the Tumah, just like we find by Tumas Rekev. And then we said, no, that's not good, because that's only true by Tumas Rekev, doesn't apply by other areas of Tumah. So then we suggested a second possibility on Chav Zayin and Beis, about halfway through the page, Am Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Bittel Barov Naguba. Now we assume that the baby is Batel Barov of all the other blood and the afterbirth and placenta, whatever else is there, the baby's Batel Barov, and that's why it's not going to be Metame the Bayis anymore. So now we have what seems to be a third approach in the first wide line. Rish Lakish Amar, the reason that Rabbi Shimon holds that the Bayis is going to be Tahar, Shvir Shetarfu Bimeimav, that when you have a baby that's been mixed in its liquids, so it becomes like a mace that lost its tzura, that the very image and the very shape of the mace has been destroyed. Well, where do you know that halacha? How do you know the halacha that if a mace is nispalbla tzuraso, that if the image, the shape, the image of the mace is messed up, that it's no longer going to be metame? Just by the way, I pointed out that Reish Lakish is a third approach. The Or Kliner points out that that's implicit in the lashon Reish Lakish Amar. Sounds like he's coming to be mefarish Rabbi Shimon in a way different than Rabbi Yochanan was mefarish Rabbi Shimon. If Reish Lakish was just Stam saying a din that a shvir shetarfu b'meim of nasa kameis, and he has nothing to do with Rabbi Shimon, he's just saying that, by the way, if you happen to mix shvir, a fetus with all the liquids around it, and you mix it up real good, so then it's going to be tahar, but nothing to do with Rabbi Shimon, then it should have said Amar Reish Lakish, as if it were an independent statement. From the fact that it says Reish Lakish Amar gives a very strong indication that Reish Lakish is being cholek on Rabbi Yochanan, and this is mefurash in Tosos on Amud Aleph Dibra Maskel Maitaima, that Reish Lakish is coming to explain that even if you don't have a majority of blood versus the Vlad itself, still Rabbi Shimon is going to be Mitar. Rabbi Yochanan held, why is it Tar? Because Batel Barov. What if you don't have a majority? Reish Lakish would still say it's going to be Mitar, because the whole reason that it's Tar, because the whole reason that the Vlad would be Tameh in the Shilya is Midin Meis Shalem. It's that it has a din of a full mace. Once it's Nitraf, it's Nispalbla Tsuraso, it no longer has a din of a mace Shalem, and Mele, it's no longer going to be Metameh. That is the way Tosus understand, that is the way it seems the Rov Rishonim understand. The Ramban and a group of students of the Ramban hold that seem to understand that Reish Lakish is a Meimer B'fnei Atzmon, has nothing to do with Rabbi Shimon. It would not be viewed as a third shita in explaining Rabbi Shimon. It's a Meimer B'fnei Atzmon. But if we assume like Tosos, we assume like probably the Pashut reading of the Gemara, that this is a third explanation of Rabbi Shimon, so then we have to try to figure out, well, why would Rabbi Meir be Metame? Why would the Tanakama be Metame? Does he not agree to this halacha of a Meishan is Balbula Tsuraso? Why would anyone disagree? So the Aruch Neder explains that you have to say that a Meir is Cholik on the whole din of Bilbul Tsura, that he holds that there is no such din that when a Meishan is Balbula Tsuraso that it's going to be Tahar. However, it's hard to say that way because the Rambam in Hilchos Tumas Meis Perchafei Halacha Yud paskins like Rav Meir that a Shilya is Metame Abayis, And on the other hand, in Tumas Meis Per Gimel Alachates, he paskens like Rish Lakish, that a Meis in his Baal Blatzuraso is Tahar. So he has to understand that within the sheet of Rameir, that Bil Blatzur is Matayr, because he paskens like Rabbi Meir, and he paskens that Nisbal Blatzuraso is Tahar. So it must be that he holds that a Shilya Bebayis HaPanimi is not yet sufficiently ruined to the point that it's considered to be tarfu b'meimav, to the point that it's considered to be nisbal b'latzaraso. It has to be handled, manipulated in some other way, in addition to whatever happens inside the mother before it really becomes nisbal b'latzaraso. Meaning, essentially, the way the Rambam must understand is that yes, there is a din of nisbal b'latzaraso. We don't argue about that. The whole machlokas Reb Meir and Rabbi Shimon is at what point? What is the line at which you say that it's truly nisbalbel, that the fetus has been really aggravated enough and mixed around enough that it got to the point of what is the definition of nisbalbel atzeraso? Not whether there is such a halacha of nisbalbel atzeraso. How do we define nisbalbel atzeraso? So says the Gemara, okay, let's assume you have such a din. Where do we know this din from? So Rabbi Yochanan asked Reish Lakish, Meishan is Babel Tzrasso, min nolan de tar. Where do we find that it's tar? So Ilem mehadam Rabbi Shabtai, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Migadla. If you want to say we learned it from Rabbi Shabtai in the name of Rabbi Yitzchak Migadla, Va'amri lo Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Migadla, Amar Rabbi Shabtai, or some say in the reverse that it was Rabbi Yitzchak Migadla that says in the name of Rabbi Shabtai. Before we even see what they say, the Maariz Chayis already points out that this is a very unusual lashon of the Gemara. Normally, when the Gemara uses the term minolan detar is the expression over here. From where do we know it's tar? Maariz Chayis points out that it's almost always quoting a pasuk. Minolan means, where do I find in psukim that there's such a din? Over here, we ask minolan, and we're quoting amoraim, not even tanaim. Maariz Chayis quotes from the Yad Malachi, that sometimes you have in the Yad Malachi quotes from different places in Shas, that sometimes you have minolan and it will bring a raya from a Mishnah. Over here, we don't even have that. It's not even a raya from Mishnah. It's from Amoraim. So it is an unusual phrase that we're using to describe a source that only comes up in Amoraim. But either way, we're trying to come up, where do we find that anyone holds that there's a din of Nisbalbla to Russo, that it's going to be Tar? So from the following statement of Amoraim, bottom line of Chavzayin Amud Beis, Meister Nisraf. Let's say you have a dead body that gets burnt, Vishildo Kayemis, and the Sheled is still around. So the Sheled in modern Hebrew means skeleton, but Rashi seems to say a little different than that. Shildo kayem is gufo kayem shlo nispazer ha'efer v'adayin nira kishole. Meaning it sounds like it's already ashes, meaning much of the body is already burnt to ashes, but it hasn't yet been scattered around. It's still exactly in the form, in the shape of the original body. So let's say you have a mace that's burnt, but the sheled, the basic form of the dead body, is still there. Tame, it's going to be tame. Maisa haya v'timulo psachim gedolim v'tiarulo psachim ktanim. Once they had a rachmana litzlan, a body that was burnt, that was cremated, let's say, and yet it was still in its basic form. So all of the large doorways of the house, they were metame because of the concept of sof tumalates, that we assume that this body is going to have to be brought out one way or another. So we assume it's going to be brought out through the large doorways. Large doorways means usable doorways. It means that they're four tefachim wide. The halacha generally is, a little bit of background as I serve here. If you ever learn Ahalos, in the third parak of Ahalos, the Mishnayos describe that when there's a mace in a house and there is a doorway that opens up that's the size, or a passageway, it doesn't have to be a doorway, that's one tefach by one tefach, so the tumah will go through, will be able to escape through that passageway. Let's say the mace is in one room, there's another room, there's an adjacent room, and there's a hole in the wall that's one tefach by one. one tefach, the tumah will be able to escape through that hole in the wall to the other room. However, when the Pesach is closed, the tumah won't go there. Meaning, even if there's a window, but the window is closed, so then the tumah won't go from one room until the other room. However, the chachamim were then machmir that sometimes even when a Pesach is closed, this is a chumra midrabbanan, that sometimes even when the Pesach is closed, tumah is going to be able to escape from one area to another. If we know that ultimately the plan is to bring the mace derech that Pesach, to bring the mace out through that doorway, that's the concept called sof tumah latzeis. If the doorway is the doorway that you know you're going to bring the mace out of, and there's an overhang, let's say right outside the doorway, anything that's underneath that overhang, even though it's on the other side of the door and the door is closed, is already considered tameh because of sof tumah latzeis, because I know that the mace is going to go out through that door. The Chacham were further machmir that even if you don't know exactly which doorway the mace is going to go out, any doorway that's a possibility that the mace might go out from, that's a reasonable possibility. It's also possible I'll bust a hole in the wall and I won't use any of the doorways, but that's not a reasonable possibility. Any doorway that's a reasonable possibility that the mace is going to go out from, all of them, let's say there are five doorways, and all of them are reasonable possibility that the mace will come out from, the area right outside those doorways, underneath the overhang, underneath the awning that protrudes from the building, is all going to be tameh. So the Chacham were koveya that all the psachim that are at least four tfachim wide are motzias atumah, because those are all reasonable possibilities, unless you say beferish, you know exactly which doorway you're planning on using. If you know exactly, and it's therefore the others aren't a reasonable possibility anymore, you have a system, you know exactly which doorway it's supposed to go out from, this is very nogeya in figuring out hospitals, and where a kohen can and cannot go in a hospital, how they where they take dead bodies out from. So whenever know for sure that the mace always goes out through doorway A, so even though doorway B is equally viable, but they never ever use it, so then doorway B would not be tameh. Psachim, though, doorways that are less than four tfachim, we assume, are not motzias atumah, even if you have not yet decided where you're going to take the mace, because we assume if it's less than four tfachim, then you're not going to end up taking the mace through that doorway. So what are we saying over here? One more point, and that is that that's only when you have a real mace, in a full mace. Let's say you just have a kazayis mina mace, so then we assume even if you have doorways that are one tefach wide, a kazayis mina mace, there's no reason to assume it won't be taken out through a tiny doorway. It's a tiny little piece of a mace. When you have a mace shalem, it's unlikely you're going to take it through an opening that's less than four tefachim, because it's not going to fit. But when you have a kazayis mina mace, it's just as likely, and therefore all of the openings are going to be tameh. So now, what are we saying? You have this burnt dead body, and the shell that is kayim, it still has its basic form. So what did they do? It was in a house, and there were four tefach wide doorways all over the place, and there was also a few openings that were one tefach wide. They were metameh all the four tefach wide doorways, because it counts like a real mace. They were metayer all the small doorways, because it doesn't count like a kazayis mina mace, it counts like a real mace. It's still in its full original form, it's just that the body is burnt. So v'katayakta mina, so Reish Lakish must have been medayik from that statement, time of the shildo kayemis, that the only reason we're gonna say the major doorways are tameh is because the shellet is still around, meaning it's still in its basic form. Halav hachi, but let's say the form was ruined, tar. The implication is that all of the doorways would be tar, because if the form were ruined, then the body is not tameh anymore. So there would be no din sof tumah latzeis. There's no tumah if the form is ruined. So that must be how Reish Lakish was medayik. Says Rabbi Yochanan to Reish Lakish, if that's where you got your whole din from, if that's where you came up with this idea of Nisbal B'Latzeraso, that the mace is tahar, well, that's a terrible diuk, because I could be medayik the exact opposite from that same statement. My diuk would be as follows. Adraba, dok mina lehai gisa. You should be medayik in the opposite direction, as follows. Shildo kayemes hu detir lo psachim katanim. It's only when the shelet is still kayem that we're going to say that the small doorways are tahar. Halav hachi psachim ketani nami tamein. If it's not, if the shalid weren't kaim, we wouldn't be more makil. Adrab would be more machmir, because it would have a din like a kezayis minames, like little pieces of a dead body, where it could just as easily go out through the small doorways as it can through the large doorways, and therefore we would have been metame even the small doorways. Because each of these tiny little openings would have been big enough to remove a single aver of the mace, and therefore sof to melatzes would apply by every opening, not just the ones that are four tefachim, even the ones that are only one tefach. So he says you don't have a good raya for that explanation of Rabbi Shimon, because you don't have a good raya for this entire concept of nisbal b'latzurasam. So I'm like Rabbi and Rav Ashi, Rabbi Yochanan da Amar Kaman. Who's Rabbi Yochanan assuming like? Meaning Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with Reish Lakish and wants to say that a mace that's nisbal b'latzurasam is still tamei. Is there a shita in Tanoim that holds directly that way, that a mace nisbal b'latzurasam is still going to be tamei? So Rabbi Eliezer, he holds like Rabbi Eliezer. Titnan efer shadofin, efer serufin, efer serufin. You have the ashes of burnt bodies. Rabbi Eliezer omer shiura berova, that the shear of how much of it is going to be tamei is if you have a rova of ashes, or rova hakav of ashes. So where do we find even before we get to Hechidami. So what are we saying? That the source for Rabbi Yochanan holding, the Tana that holds like Rabbi Yochanan, that even when it's Nisbalbel Tzurasa, it's still going to be Tameh, is this the statement of Rabbi Eliezer, that when you have ashes of a mace, as long as you have a rova akav, that's obviously not shildu kayemis, it's nispalbul, it's a russo. When you have a rova akav, you don't have the tzur of the mace, it's just a rova akav of ashes, it's still going to be tamei. That's where Rabbi Yochanan gets his shita from. So Tosos and all the other Rishonim ask, wait a second, the Mishnah where Rabbi Eliezer says his shita does not only record one opinion, it also records an opinion of the Chachamim, who are cholik and are mitaher efres rufim. They say you just have a pile of ashes, the Chachamim hold it's tar. So how could it be that Rabbi Yochanan paskins like Rabbi Eliezer against the Chachamim? And he's so sure about that, to the point that he's using it as a kash on Reish Lakish. How dare you, Reish Lakish, hold that there's a concept of Nisbal B'Latzeraso? After all, we have Rabbi Eliezer, who says that Nisbal B'Latzeraso is still going to be Tameh. What do you mean you have Rabbi Eliezer holds that it's still going to be Tameh? You have the Chachamim hold that it's going to be Tar. And what does he mean to say when he asks on Reish Lakish, Minolan, where do you get this idea Nisbal B'Latzeraso is going to be Tahar? What do you mean, where do I get it from? I hold like the Chum that hold that it's Bablo Tzrosso Star. It's only Rabbi Eliezer who holds that it's Tameh. Adrabba, the cash is on Rabbi Yochanan. So very, very difficult. Not only that, Rabbi Yochanan couldn't find any makar for Reish Lakish except for some statement of Amorayim, Rabbi Shabtai in the name of Rabbi Yitzchak Migadla'a. What about the Chachamim in the very Mishnah that the Rabbi Yochanan found support for his Shita in the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer? He should have found support for the Shita of Reish Lakish in the Shita of the Chachamim. So why does he have to come on to Amoraim? This is a major kasha. All the Rishonim have trouble with this, and they all get in on the act to try to figure out what's going on over here. Tosos has several Terutim. Ramban has a couple of Terutim. Ritva has a few Terutim. One just, we'll go with the one that Tosos, Ramban, and the Rashba all quote, is that they all are mitarets, that Rabbi Yochanan says that Nisbalbala Tsurasso is going to still be Tameh, he's talking even within the Shita of the Chachamim, who are mitaher efer srufin, who think that ashes are going to be tahar. The Chacham are only mitaher when the mace is nisraf, because once it's nisraf, it loses a shame mace. It loses entirely the status of a dead body. But a mace shalim that's not burnt, it's just nisbalbala tzurasso, it's just basic form and image is deformed, even the Chacham are going to be moda, says Rabbi Yochanan, that such a mace is still going to be tameh. There is no din of nisval b'latzraso, and therefore by a shvir shenitraf b'meimav, if you have the fetus that's been mixed in with the other liquids inside the woman, even the chacham are going to be moda that it's going to be tameh. It doesn't lose its shem mace just because it's mixed in with the other liquids. What makes it lose its shem mace? Only if it's burnt entirely. So if it's not batel barov, it wouldn't lose its shem mace. Rish Lakish disagrees. Rish Lakish holds, no, you know why the Chum say that Efer Sruf is tahar? Because any time it loses its tzura, nispal b'latzraso, it loses its shem mace. So that could happen through cremation, it could happen through the fetus mixing with the other liquids, it could happen in a number of different ways. Efer is just an example. It's just that that Rabbi Yochanan disagrees. Rabbi Yochanan thinks the Chum aren't using Efer as an example. Efer is the only case where it's going to be tahar as a result of being completely changed from its original form. The Rambam happens to be paskins like Rish Lakish that a mace that's in Spalbl Tzarasos Tar, in Tumas Mace Paragimalachates, he paskins a mace in Spalbl Tzarasos Tar, and the case of Mishnah explains because the reason the Rambam paskins that way is that Rabbi Yochanan's Shita matches up with Rabbi Eliezer. And the Chacham Marcholik and Rabbi Lazar, so Rish Lakish matches up with the Chachamim, and Rabbi Yochanan matches up with Rabbi Lazar. So the Aruch Lenor points out, obviously the Rambam didn't hold like the Teretz of Tosfos. Tosfos tried to be Metareitz, that no, Rabbi Yochanan will tell you, I'm not lining up with Rabbi Eliezer, I'm lining up even with the Chachamim, I think the Chacham would agree with me. So the Rambam obviously doesn't think so. The Rambam thinks that it's very clear that it's Rish Lakish like the Chachamim, and Rabbi Yochanan like Rabbi Eliezer. So anyway, so says Gemara, Hechidah Mace Shenisav Shildo Kamis, about 8-9 lines into the page. Where do we find, how do you have such an example? What does it mean that the body has been cremated? So isn't it like in a pile of ashes now, in an urn or something? How can it still be Shildo Kamis, that its basic form is intact if it's been cremated, if it's been completely burnt? So Amar Abayi Gon Shesarfa Al Gabi Katavla, Rav Amar Gon Shesarfa Al Gabi Apudrim. They're both saying basically the same thing, that they make a mold of the human body before burning it. So they enclose the body in a mold and then they burn it, so that the ashes stay exactly where they are in place within the mold of the body. Ravina Amar Kigon de Ichruchi Achruchi. Ravina says, no, we're not talking about where you turn the body into ashes. We're talking about where it's where you just singe the outer part of the body, but it still remains basically intact because it hasn't been turned into ashes. Okay, Vaita Tan Rabbanan. Hamapel's Yad Chatucha V'Regel Chatucha Imo Tmei Leida. If a woman miscarries a fully formed hand or a fully formed leg, so even though she can't find a fetus in there, she's still going to be Tmei Leida. Ve'in Choshen Shem Miguf Atum Bo. We don't assume that maybe it comes from a Guf Atum that wouldn't have the status of a Vlad. If it has a fully formed hand, fully formed leg, you could assume that it came from a fully formed Vlad. Rav Chisv Rabba Rav Rumi Dami Tervayu Einos Lo Yimei Torah. But they both say you won't give her any Yimei Torah, not even the Yimei Torah of a Zachar of up until 40 days. If she bleeds 3 weeks after having this baby, she's going to be Tameh. My time, oh why? After all, shouldn't you assume, don't we say that we assume there definitely is a Vlad in there? Yeah, but Ema Hirchika Leidasa. It could be that the Vlad came out piece by piece and that the majority of the Vlad came out weeks earlier than we thought. And we have no idea when it came out. So since we don't know, we weren't able to keep track of when this Vlad came out, you can't give her any Yimei Torah, because at any time you think it's the Yimei Torah, it may not really be the Yimei Torah. Masav Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef asked on this, wait a second, I'm a pelos, v'nidu ma apila, teshev l'zachar u l'nekeva. We have a Mishnah tomorrow's daf, that if a woman is mapil and she doesn't know what it is, she should be yoshev l'zachar u l'nekeva. V'yisal g'dayta kol ki agav ne'emir chika le'dasa l'sni v'lanida. But if you're always concerned that you don't know when the Vlad really came out and when there was really a laid over here, so she shouldn't only worry about a zachar u'nekeva, she should be tamei as a nida also anytime she sees dam. Because after all, the Yimei Tawar may be over already, and she just may be in her Yimei Nida already. So Amar Abayi Itan L'Nida Havaminim Via Karban Ve'in Unechal Kamash Milan D'Nechal. Now, if it would have said L'Nida, I would have thought she would bring a Karban
And it wouldn't get eaten. Meaning, I would think that she couldn't eat the carbon because we don't even think that, we think there's a possibility she might not be yoledes at all. Meaning, a woman who gives birth has to bring a carbon. She could be laid on her carbon and would still get eaten, right? But she just has to bring a carbon. If there's a concern that there was no leda whatsoever, and that everything that came out of her is just damnida, well then there's no carbon. You don't bring carbon for damnida. So I might have thought, if it would have said that we're choshish lenida as well, I might have thought that that meant not only that any dam she sees we're worried is past the Yemei Toar and might be Damnida in addition to the fact that she's a Yoledes, I might have thought that it meant that maybe she's not a Yoledes at all and she's only a Nida, in which case she has to be Choshish to bring a carbon just in case she's a Yoledes, but the carbon cannot get eaten. No, Kamash Mulan, that the carbon does get eaten. Amrav Huna, Hotzi Uber is Yad of Ixira, Imo Tamei Leida. If an Uber sticks its hand out of the mother and then pulls the hand back in, the mother is Tamei Leida. Shnemar, Vayihi Belidita, Vayitin Yad. That Vayitin Yad apparently is called the Leida. Masav Rav Yehuda, Hotzi Uber is Yad of Eni Mechoshesh Lekal Davar. But wait a second, didn't we learn that if an Uber sticks its hand out, you don't have to worry about anything? So how can you say that she's Tamei Leida? Amrav Nachum Ledidi Mefarshi Limine De Rav Huna Lachush Choshesh Imeitar Lo Yavinu La Adenafa Grube. No, when the baby sticks its hand out, you're Choshesh that it's a Leida, but you aren't Mekil for it being a Leida, meaning you made Tuma, start right away, she's Tamei no matter what, but you're not going to give her Yemei Toar based on the baby sticking its hand out. Well, come on, how could you say that? It says that she doesn't have to worry about anything. That implies that you're not even choshesh for lechumra for the fact that it might be called a leida. No, that means to say that she doesn't have to be choshesh for anything on a daraisa level, but midrabanon she does have to be choshesh that would be called a leida. Vakraka Amar, what do you mean midrabanon? We quoted a pasuk to say that sticking your hand out means a leida, right? The pasuk was vayihi belidita vayitein yad. So it's hard to look at a pasuk from Chumash, nonetheless, a pasuk bereishis lamed ches from Chumash, where and say, oh, that's only chashash midrabanon. How could you call it a chashash midrabanon? Answers the Gemara, predictably midrabanon v'kras machlebi alma. Yeah, it's a chashash midrabanon. The pasuk about a hand sticking out, and that being called the Leida, that's only in a smachta, but really it's a dindrabanan. So the Ritva just points out that what are we saying over here? Eina choshesh is the kol davar. That the Tanaim are going to use such an expression. What does that, those words mean? Eina choshesh is the kol davar. You have nothing to worry about. And how are we touching it up? Midar Raisi, you have nothing to worry about, but really you have plenty to worry about, midrabanan. The Ritva said the Tanaim couldn't pick a better lashon than Eina Choshesh as the Kol Davar. If really you have a legitimate problem, midrabanan, they're going to say such an expression, don't worry, it's all fine, absolutely fine, nothing to worry about. So the Ritva says, maybe we have to say, at the time that Mishnah was written, that din derabanan was not yet made. There are dinim derabanan that were made throughout history at different stages. There are early dinim derabanan, there are later dinim derabanan. This might be a post-Tanoim din derabanan. This din derabanan may have been from the early Amorayim or from the very, very late Chachmei Mishnah, where when this turn of phrase was used of Ein Choshesh L'Kol Davar, the din d'rabbanan simply didn't exist. We were still following the simple din d'oraisa that she doesn't have to worry about anything. We find din d'rabbanan already from days of Moshe Rabbeinu. So we have Moshe Rabbeinu made dinim d'rabbanan very early dinim d'rabbanan of how often we read Kriyas HaTorah, that we don't go 3 days without Mayim, without Torah. Good. So we have a lot of dinim d'rabbanan that are very old, but this maybe is a much later din d'rabbanan. Okay, new Mishnah. Hamapel is tumtum androgynous, teshuv lezachal nekeva. If a woman is mapil, a tumtum androgynous, both a tumtum and an androgynous, so she's teshuv lezachal nekeva. She has to worry about zachar and nekeva. She has to worry about the yimei tum of nekeva, that she's only going to get, or tumtum or an androgynous over here, or she's only going to get the yimei toar of a zachar. She has to be choshesh in both directions. So the Mishnah Achrona, one of the commentaries on the side of the Achnuvos Mishnayis, points out that this Mishnah is not really about necessarily a woman who's mapeles. It could have been a perfectly viable leida as well, right? We say mapeles agav the other Mishnayis in this parak, which were all about mapeles, but it doesn't really have to be about mapeles. It could just stand be about about giving birth. Also, the Mishnah Chorona points out that we're talking about that they didn't rip open the tumtum to see what it really is. Because if it were really a nefel, they could rip it open to see if it's a zachar or a nekeva. But if it's a vlad chai, we understand why they're not going to rip it open, because you can't rip it open to cause tsar to the tinok, to cause undue anguish to the baby, or it could be that it's sakana to the baby to rip it open. So you'd understand if it's a vlad chai why they're not ripping it open. And that's why it's still a tumtum, it's still a safek, and that's why we have to be choshesh l'zachar u'mekeva. So says the Gemara. So our Mishnah says tumtum and androgynous. She gives birth to twins, one tumtum, one androgynous. She's teshev v'zachar l'nekeva. Tumtum v'zachar. Let's say the twins are one tumtum, one male, or androgynous v'zachar, one androgynous and one male. So again, teshev v'zachar l'nekeva. You have to worry that the tumtum or androgynous might be a nekeva, and therefore you have to worry about both the days of only yemei tohar of a zachar, and you get the full yemei tum of a nekeva. Tumtum Nekeva, androgynous and nekeva, teshev l'nekeva b'lvad. But if it's tumtum and nekeva, androgynous and nekeva, so just like if it's a boy and a girl, you only have to worry about the yemei tumah and yemei tahara of a girl. So too, if it's a tumtum and androgynous plus a girl, you only have to worry about the yemei tumah and tahara of a girl. Yatzu mechutach o mesuras, if the baby came out cut up into little pieces or came out backwards feet first, mishiyatzu ruba areyu kiyolid. As soon as the majority of the body is out, it's considered born. Yatzu kedarkvat, shiyatzu rov rosho. But if it comes out head first and it's fully intact, so then Rov Rosho. Vezu Rov Rosho, Mishiyatu Pedachto. The definition of Rov Rosho is the forehead comes out. It seems to me Machlokes Rishonim, how to be Goris over here, whether it's the Rov of the forehead or the entire forehead, then makes up Rov Rosho. Hashu tumtum l'chadeva androgynous l'chadeva amateshev zachar nekeva tumtum v'zachar androgynous v'zachar mibayi. Once the first line of the Mishnah tells me that if she gives birth to just a tumtum or just an androgynous, she already has to be yoshev l'zachar nekeva. So isn't it obvious that it's a zachar and a tumtum? She has to be yoshev l'zachar nekeva. Why does the next line of the Mishnah tell me that? So yitzrich ma'od etema halvam rabbi yitzchak yishmasra tchili yolad zachar yishmasra tchili yolad nekeva. Eima midahai zachar einami zachar. Since the Gemara tells me that there's a skula that if a man is Mazria first, that the baby is going to be a Zachar. If a woman's Mazria first, the baby is going to be an Akeva. So if one of the twins is a Zachar, must be a Raya that the man was Mazria Tchila, and therefore the other baby must also be a Zachar. And I might have thought you don't have to be even Choshesh that the Tumtum is really an Akeva. Kamashmalan, Emeshneim is Riu Bebasacha, Zuzachar Vizen Akeva. Now, Kamashmalan, that it's possible to have twins, that's one boy, one girl. We discussed on Shabbos what the Havamina is, that it's not possible. It's Maisim Bechol Yom that happens. All the Shvatim had it. Okay, fine, it's a good catch. Amrav Nachman Amrav Tumtum Androgynous Sharo Lobin Odem Ein Chayavin Al Bias Mikdash. The halacha is that a female, when red comes out of her body, she's tameh. When white comes out of her body, she's not tameh. A male, when white comes out of his body, even ziva, white ziva comes out of his body, the flow that comes out of his body that makes him a zav would be a white flow. So let's say you have a tumtum androgynous that sees Lobin or Odem, so you're not going to be Chayav Al Bias Mikdash. Vein Sarfen Alei Mr. Truman. You're not going to burn Truman on their account. You don't assume that they're tameh vada. Ro loben ve'odem ke'echad. If they see both, then ain't chayav al bias mikdash. Avol sofren aleim es truma. Still, they're not going to be chayav for bias mikdash, but you will be sorif truma on their account. Shneimer mizachar va'ad nekeva tishalechu. Because we darshin mizachar nekeva tishalechu, which we darshin zachar va'ad nekeva v'adais v'lotum to androgynous. That this din of getting tameim out of the mikdash is only if it's a vaday zachar or vaday nekeva. But if it's tum to androgynous, then they don't have such a din of being thrown out of the Beis HaMikdash on account of their tumah. So Rav Zilberstein points out in Chashuk Echemed that it would turn out that, let's say, for security reasons, you need to send Jews onto Har HaBayis or on the Makom HaMikdash, that someone has to be sent there, Bizman HaZeh. So why is it that we can't go on the Har HaBayis? Because we all have tumah zav, right? So we don't go there. Or even into the Mikdash, we don't go because of Chashash tumah. But if only a Zachar Vaday in the Keva Vadai has a problem, maybe if we have to send somebody, we should try to find Tumtum and Androgynous, and it would be better to send them than to send regular people. I don't know, I don't think you're going to find the proper soldiers, you know, would be a very specific category you're looking for. So Lema Masayele says, maybe we'll bring a Raya. Tumtum and Androgynous Sharo Loven O'odem Ein Chayoven Al Bias Mikdash Ein Sofren Alema Satruma Ro Loven Ve'odem Ka'achas Ein Chayoven Al Bias Mikdash Al Vosofren Alema Satruma. It says it explicitly that if they see Loven Ve'odem, them, they see white and red that comes out of their body, they're not chayiv on bias migdash, because they're not a zachar vaday, they're not in the keva vaday, but you would be sorif truma on their account, because they are definitely tamei. So it's not in the keva vaday or zachar vaday, but they are tamei vaday. So my time, well, what's the reason? Lav mishum shenamar mizachar and the keva tshalechu, zachar vaday and the keva vadaas, v'lo tum tum androgynous. Isn't it because of this drasha from the pasuk that it's only a zachar vaday and in the cave of Adai, but a tumtum androgynous would not be included in this din? The Al-Khaner raises a suffix if it's a mutter l'chachila for them to go into the mikdash, or it's just because since they're nismayed from the pasuk entirely, or no, that it would still be asr on some level. Milchaschiluch says it would still be asr midrabanan for them to go into the base of mikdash. It's just that they're not included in the pasuk on a daoraisa level. Okay, says the Gemara, Amarula, lo, no, we got the wrong diuk. It has nothing to do with that pasuk. The reason why that they're not chayv al bias mikdash is not because zachar vaday mikheva vaday. Hamani Rabbi Lazari, we're assuming like Rabbi Eliezer, the Tnan, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Hasheretz v'ne'ela mimenu. We darshin al helim sheretz hu chayev, venu chayev al helim migdash. That a person is only chayev for helim sheretz if he forgets, went into the migdash, not realizing that he had become tamei from a sheretz, that he had become tamei in the first place, but he realized that he was in the migdash. Right? You're not chayev if you didn't realize that you were even in the migdash. Rabbi Lezer says you're not going to be chayiv. Rabbi Kiva Omer v'nelam imenu v'hutamei al helam tumu chayiv enu chayiv al helam migdash. Rabbi Kiva says the opposite, that you're only going to be chayiv if you seemingly the same thing. He says you're only going to be chayiv if you forgot about your tumah, but you're not going to be chayiv if you forgot about the fact that you're in the Beis HaMikdash, if you didn't realize that you're in the Beis HaMikdash. So it sounds like Rabbi Kiva is saying the same thing as Rabbi Eliezer. So says Gemara of Armin and Mai Bein Ayu. So we ask, what's the difference between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Kiva? V'amr Chizkiya, Sheretu Nevela Ika Bein Ayu. Nafkamina between them is Sheretu Nevela. You know your tumah, you don't remember why your tumah, whether was a sheretz or a nevela, meaning you know you touched one of them, you don't know which one you touched. Rabbi Eliezer Savrabina Nadi Eda, Ibe Sheretz Itmi, Ibe Nevela Itmi. Rabbi Eliezer holds, it's not enough to be chayiv for Bias Migdash. You not only have to know that you're tameh, you have to know what exactly made you tameh. Was it a sheretz or a nevela? Rabbi Kiva Savralobina. Rabbi Kiva says, no, if you know you're tameh, that's enough. You don't have to know what exactly made you tameh. So Lavram Rabbi Eliezer Asam Bina Nadi Eda, Ibe Sheretz Itmi, Ibe Nevela Itmi, Hachraim Bina Nadi Eda, Ibe Lovin Itmi, Ibe Odim Itmi. That's why the tumtum and androgynous who sees love and Adam is not going to be chayiv on bias mikdash, because he doesn't know which one was metame him. Rabbi Lazar, it's not enough to know that you're tame. You have to know which thing was metame you. He doesn't know if the red or the white was metame him. But Rabbi Kiva over here by the tumtum and androgynous should say you're chayiv. V'rav ma'ishna bias mikdash lo d'ksiv mizachar v'anakev t'shalechu zachar v'adi n'kev v'adas lo t'tum androgynous. Now Rav, who gave the original explanation that the reason that he's not going to be chayv for bias mikdash is because it's only for zachar v'adi n'kev v'adai, so good, he says that's true by bias mikdash yachi truma nami lo nisrov. But why doesn't he say the same drasha by truma, that you shouldn't burn truma on account of this person touching the truma? D'ksiv azav azavola zachar ula n'keva. It says b'fe. So why don't we dash in the same drasha that for burning truma it should have to be a vade zachar vade nekeva? And so Gemara, umi bai l'Rabbi Yitzchak. No, he needs that pasuk by truma. Teach me a different din. Dam Rabbi Yitzchak l'zachar l'rabbis l'smitzora l'mayanos of l'nekeva l'rabbis l'smitzora l'mayanosah. Comes to tell me that the mayanos of a mitzora are enough tuma to cause a problem for truma. So says Gemara, yeah, but the pasuk by bias mikdash we also need for a different drasha. Hainamim by lebi mishe yeshal tar mikva prat likli cheres. Div Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi darshens this pasuk, teach me only things that have tar mikva, excluding a kli cheres that's tame that does not need to be sent out of the azara. So says Gemara, naim kei nichtov kra. Nichtav Rachmana Adam. It would have said Adam from the fact that it says Zachar and Nekeva. That's what it teaches me, that it has to be Zachar Vaday and a Nekeva Vaday Dafka by Migdash, but not by Truma. Rachmana Adam. No, had it said Adam, I would think even metal Kalim you don't have to send out. So no, Mikol Tamei Lenefesh Nafka. I would have learned metal Kalim from Kol Tamei Lenefesh. lenefesh. Zachar nekeva lamali lechadrav. What do I need zachar nekeva there for? I need zachar nekeva to teach me the din of rav. Namely, that unless you're a zachar vaday or a nekeva vaday, there is not going to be an iser of shiluach from the mikdash of tumas mikdash. So that's that. So that's why rav only makes this drasha when it comes to mikdash. Does not make this drasha when it comes to truma. We're right in the middle of a discussion where we're not going to get to the two dots today, so we'll pick up from there tomorrow.